My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not here right now. He's still at work, so I'm gonna bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm gonna see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm gonna set up the speaker and I'm gonna listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Happy Friday. Beautiful day. Bills at 2-0. I was thinking that so much, and you know, this can be me, not all of us, or even you, but so much of the offseason was, what are they going to do? And isn't already so much of that pressure off after last night? The Jet game Monday, and then the Dolphins last night. And it just feels very different. Oh, Jacksonville. The first right. The first six games have usually been my framework. You know, like maybe Arizona. Underdog four times. Four night games. 2-0 with Jacksonville on long rest is next at home.
And coming off of, I mean, what word do you want? Dominant, easy, cruising.
What is the right word? Was it dominant? Was it easy? It was pretty easy.
I think it was easy. I don't know about dominant. I mean, they won easily. That's dominating, I guess. You know, I mean, they scored easily. It seemed. I mean, the takeaways were all gift wrapped, basically.
Yeah, that's even the same. That's a microcosm of the same point. Because were they just gift wrapped, or were the Bills in the right position and the quarterback was confused? And the first one was a batted ball, but
yeah, the second one was just a overthrow. The third one was maybe quintessential, like why you'd be afraid of Tua Tagovailoa as your quarterback. It's like he's just trying to throw that out of bounds, and he can't get it there. He just can't get it there.
You know, Sean McDermott would not say it was easy.
No, I know. No, and I don't think anybody who's on the team that prepares for these games and physically goes and does it, I think, would really balk it easy. But sitting in your living room, I mean, it's just pretty stress-free. You know? They are faced with 4th and 3, that first possession, and I thought, everybody be honest, right? They line up like they're going to go for it, and then there's the quick timeout, and like, okay, they're just trying to get them to jump. Right, they go talk to the coach, and here comes the field goal unit. Like this is me now sitting on my couch thinking like, oh, they did that thing. Because at first you're like, ooh, they're gonna go for it, and then like, oh yeah, hold on, I'm not in shape yet. This is draw them off sides. The timeout sort of compounds that, and then no, we're going right back out there. and going for it, and they get paid off with a 17-yard touchdown.
Man, that was great.
That was really great. It checked every box.
It's a walk-in touchdown.
Maybe the only box it doesn't check is having to burn a timeout that early. Like, I think Allen said something about that after the game, but still. If you're...
Why is he so negative all the time?
If you're keen on those sorts of decisions, that few minutes was a bit of a ride. You're like, are they going to go for it? Yeah, they are. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no, timeout. Oh, geez. Oh, okay. So that was awesome. One thing I keep thinking of today is the Dolphins and their place in all of this and how rare it is, I think. I don't know. I don't want to talk about any of our personal lives or our professional lives, but certainly as it pertains to sports, I think we are used to feeling like Charlie Brown, and we are never Lucy. But with that team, we are Lucy. But they cannot get their foot on the ball. We keep pulling it away from them.
Is that still a reference people know?
I think so.
Charlie Brown? Do your kids know Charlie Brown? I mean, they're in their 20s.
Yeah. I think mine do. We watched Peanuts when they were little. I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time, but...
I watched it this morning. It's what came up this morning when I woke up at 1:15.
All right. Well, good for you.
It was Charlie Brown. Where's the pumpkin pie? That's what woke me up.
Well, anyway, you know what I'm saying. I mean, this Miami team just can't catch a break. The Bills lose another defender early in the game on top of all the other defenders that they've lost. I mean, you look at what they did to that team, the defense did to that team with Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram and Damar Hamlin.
I know.
Benford's a sixth-round pick if you want it. I mean, he's a good player, so like that's over. His draft status doesn't really matter, but your secondary is a sixth-round pick. A sixth-round pick in Hamlin, and two street free agents that are filling in for one of the best nickel corners in the game, and you're doing what to the Miami Dolphins now? Like, Miami just, they could run it. They ran it very, they probably should have just kept handing it off.
Let's just, before we go too far, sounding like the Bills are the best thing ever, let's just at least say once, what a joke the Dolphins are.
That's really the point here.
I mean, I know Tua got hurt, and I'm not going to ignore that. But the game was over before he left it.
Right, it's 31-10 when he gets hurt.
And so much of my thinking, I just love when I just get completely blown up by a game. You know, you put all this time into thinking about, oh, he's going to carve him up, you know. Just completely blown up. All that was said that was kind of obvious about their motivation and just like what the Bills represent to them. Nobody takes them that seriously. I don't think that's overstating anything. And so the schedule fell great for them, I would say. Play them early, short week, at night. They travel, you're home. It's like perfect for the Dolphins. It's almost, you know, fixed. If they lose this game, the Bills lose the game 31-10. Somebody's calling us today to say, why do the schedule makers have it in for the Bills? Like, why would they do that? And still... the Dolphins are nowhere. That third Cook touchdown is just, it's the second quarter, and the Dolphins are just completely checked out. Poor Jordan Poyer has to try to chase him to the corner, can't get there. I mean, just in so many ways, symbolically, just a horrendous moment for a Dolphins franchise that has just been dogged by, you know, the Bills thing for four, going on 5 years.
Right.
They have this game, and it is just done by the second quarter. Did you see my tweet about the plays run?
Yes.
25 Bills games ever, or at least since the Super Bowl era, so 1967. 25 Bills games in 57 years. The Bills ran 46 plays or fewer. They are 3-22 in those games. That's logical, isn't it? That's sort of intuitive.
Sure.
If you run so few plays,
you don't have the ball a lot.
You're going to lose.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, some of the more famous Bills losses that you can think of are on that list where they just could not get first downs. 46 plays or fewer, 25 games in Bills history since the first year of the Super Bowl. They have won three, and last night is one of them. And they won by 21 points.
Right. Yeah, they really cruised.
That should not ever happen in the NFL.
Right.
It doesn't happen in the NFL. Like, just It's turnovers, you know, but it's – so I was at the other
turnovers and fourth downs. I mean, they – fourth downs. Miami went – they missed on 4 out of 5 fourth down attempts. I mean, that – so, the, I mean, those are basically turnover – there's turnover on downs is what it's called. I mean, so, yeah, that's – you can – you move the ball, but if you can't convert those, then, you know, thanks for coming. Thanks for your stats, but, you know, you're giving me the ball back.
1986, Jim Kelly's first win. St. Louis Cardinals, week 3 in Orchard Park. That's one. 42 plays. The Cardinals ran 74. The Bills won 17-10. Don't ask me how. Mm-hmm. The famous Sunday night Raiders game in 90. Nate Odoms, J.D. Williams, Tasker. Like that game mm-hmm. on TNT.
Yes.
For you trivia buffs. 38-24. The Bills ran 44 plays. The Raiders 68. Last night, the Bills ran 45 plays. The Dolphins ran 75 plays. And that's the only one where I guess the Bills didn't have a turnover because the Dolphins did. So it must be that. Of all those 25 games, I think this is just sort of like ancillary, but of all those 25 games, 46 plays or fewer since the Super Bowl era, that's the only one where the Bills didn't give the ball away. Because, you know, that would be, these are often bad teams, so you're going to have turnovers. But this is not a bad team. That's why it's so weird.
I love that you I Poyer being at the point, like the flash point of the biggest, you know, offensive play in the game, I think is just so symbolic for my poor Miami's not exactly a sentiment that people will want to hear here, but like they're a joke. You just said it. This offseason, I can't beat the Bills. I just can't get past this team. Oh, Jordan Poyer's available? The Bills are probably done with him? Oh, we'll go get him. There's something left there. We'll go get him. Leadership, intelligence, all of this stuff, familiarity. Like, that'll help us get over the hump here. And instead, it's just in the open field. You tell me here. Cook starts to, like, head for the sideline. And I don't know who that player is in the middle of the field. I could have guessed it was Poyer, but I don't know at that point.
He's not scoring.
Right.
That's what you're thinking?
I'm thinking he's not. He doesn't have the extra gear, and that guy's got an angle on him, and he's going to get caught. And we're going to be talking in here about how you wish he had just a little bit more. Right? It was just a little bit fat. But, boy, was that the right guy at the right time to be the person with the angle in pursuit, because it's Jordan Poyer, and he cannot do that. He can't catch average, you know, foot speed running backs anymore. Just can't do it. And so even that, like if you're a Miami fan and you were hoping, I mean, I talked about him quite a bit yesterday on the pregame show. You know, if I'm Miami, I'm plugging into this guy. You know, he knows the inner workings, and emotionally, like he's a powerhouse in that way. So let's help have him help us get there. He knows how to climb this hill. Let's go. And he's the guy that can't get it done. You know, the play that basically didn't ice the game. It made it 24-10 or whatever it was,
24-3.
And then, of course, the Ingram pick six is the one that iced it. But yeah, Poyer at the flash point was, I don't want to quite say delicious, because I don't feel like he's someone we should have an axe to grind against. The Bills were done with him. They let him go. He went to Miami. So like, I don't have it in for him or anything, but it still tasted pretty good.
Well, you know, I know people are, I've said for many years, everybody in sports radio knows this is the way. When the Bills win, you know, we don't really get phone calls, because, you know, there's nothing to complain about. Allow me. 139 yards passing is just not going to cut it. Like, these two games, Allen in fantasy, you got away with it in the first game because he ran for, what is this, one carry? Two carries for 2 yards? What is he, Burrow now? Allen? What is he, Aaron Rodgers on a torn Achilles? Two carries for 2 yards and a fumble?
I thought he was supposed to have to do everything for them to win.
This is not going to work. How do your fantasy teams look today, everybody? Kincaid?
If you have Coleman? Cook, if you have Cook, you got paid.
Cook, yeah. But who has Cook?
A lot of people. You just hate him for some reason.
I don't hate him.
He was excellent last year.
I don't hate him. He was fine.
Yeah,
that's why I don't like him, because he's fine. I want, you know, if you will, legendary upside. That's what I want for my running backs.
Well, he was mighty fine yesterday.
That's a
He's even getting the ball in the goal line plays.
Yeah, well, Allen even said after, like, he's complaining to me about, you know, not getting goal line carries because I keep taking them on him. So, you know, we got him one from the 1 yard line. So, you know, good for him.
Two inside the five in 2 weeks. He had five all of last year inside the 5 yard line.
And he had two rushing touchdowns yesterday, which is his total from last year as well.
This is a problem. Keon Coleman, 0 for 0. I like Samuel as a prop bet, 1 for 3. Who even knows? We're 2 weeks in. The Bills have 2 wins, including a destruction of the Dolphins. And do we know anything about what we were asking all summer? Like pecking order? Is it fine? Like, does it matter? Are they going to have a season where it turned out not to matter?
It definitely doesn't matter right now. To assume it won't ever matter seems probably pretty short-sighted.
I refuse to do that.
But I'm really curious to see if and when they need it, if they'll have it. You know, like the plays are still, even though Allen has such a modest stat line, you're not inclined to maybe brag about what he did last night. But the play he makes to Ty Johnson, by the way,
it's good,
is bonkers. I mean, it's Jalen Ramsey in coverage, by the way, and just tremendous. So, you know, there's not 10 of those plays or even 5 of those plays from last night, but when you needed a play, there it is. It's first and goal at the 1 yard line because Josh Allen is a freak. So that is the kind of thing that gives you, I think, some reason to think, at least maybe hope, that, you know, when you really have to do it, when someone can keep up with you and doesn't just roll over and give you the ball 3 times, that you're going to be able to find it. But, you know, we don't know. It's definitely to be determined at this point. But what they're doing is working. They're scoring 32 points a game, and their offense doesn't even seem like it's been that hot yet.
Well, I think Miami was a mess, and every one of these games, you know, you have week one, and some teams look better than you thought, but who do they play? You know, I think... I don't want to overstate that because Miami walked into last night with the same odds to win the AFC East as the Bills did. I'm sure that's quite different today. So it counts, but it's not everything. I think through 2 games, it's fine. It's appropriate to really talk about this idea that I think has been proven to be correct, that they want to be a running team, you know, run first. Like that identity type stuff, whether it's going to work. I mean, so far, it has. And there are so many facets to that. Like, that's sort of what is happening around the NFL. It's the Bills are, like, they voluntarily traded Stephon Diggs, but that happened. It didn't happen to them, but they chose to do it. And that and others of their moves are, okay, well, this is probably where we're headed. It was how they were already playing last season. And I'm open to hearing, you know, this is a great idea because of how the season has started. I'm not all the way there. I'm not all the way to, okay, well, this will be fine. I don't need Dalton Kincaid as a receiving threat. I don't really need Coleman can have zeros, you know, because I don't think so. I don't think this season will ultimately be a success if that keeps happening. I mean, Kincaid had 4 catches. 2 guys on the team had more than one last night, not to, you know, overstate it, but it's Shakir and Kincaid, and then it's 4 other passes total, I think, the whole team. But I think right now, like, that is the topic with them. Defensively, give Sean McDermott his credit.
Yeah, I mean, get the flowers out. I already said it. I mean, you're talking about 6th-round picks and street free agents from the University at Buffalo. You know, starting games.
I don't like how your tone there.
That is where they're at. I mean, it's kind of incredible. I don't mean it as a slight on the guys necessarily. It's just, who saw that coming? You know, they're so thin. And, you know, we spent some time yesterday, like, I don't know, do you slot Ingram in there? That's not really his job. You know, Bishop maybe, Mike Edwards, whatever. You know, Big Nickel. And these guys just are there, you know? I mean, yeah, the ball was it, you know, they were in the right place at the right time. But it really stands out to me that this defense, Baylen Specter, and it's just the names, it's incredible to do that to that team. And it's not a one-off. Like, Tyreek Hill, his longest reception against the Bills is 23 yards since he's been on the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
Yeah. Like, they have, you know, they got it. You know, they seem to have a formula for slowing that team down. And because, I mean, the results speak for themselves.
What is Jonnu Smith's longest catch as a Dolphin against the Bills, though? You haven't brought that up yet. 15. Sorry.
I was getting there.
What about Grant Dubose?
He was annoying.
Jonnu?
Smith, yeah. I just felt like...
But that is a byproduct of what you're saying. Because the Bills are like, go for it. Knock yourself out. Jonnu Smith, go for it. Just not Hill and Waddle. Right? Go, throw the ball to him.
Right.
We're fine.
Well,
it's like
sure.
a running play.
I mean, for all... Listen... We're over here moaning about all summer, I don't have a number one, who are my guys, I got a bunch of slot receivers, all this and that, right? Miami has Hill and Waddle, but you're also throwing the ball to Robbie Chosen and this Dubose guy who lets it bounce off his hip and go for a pick. Like, you know, the top end of their receiving room obviously is elite. The rest of it is junk. Like, who are these guys?
Well, it doesn't usually pose a problem to the Dolphins, but the Bills, to their credit, have so messed with Tua that he's throwing the ball to those other players when wouldn't you and I say, don't.
Right.
Do what works. Play to your strength. And if Tyreek Hill is in bracketed coverage, I still kind of need that. So it's easy to say. And we don't know what happens to him now, Tua. Like that... That's the lead story from this game.
Right.
Is his injury and just what happens there. 803-0550, Football Friday on WGR. Fun to have it be a game review here. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Here is Sam with us. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Great, Sam. Thank you.
Sun's always brighter when the Bills beat the Dolphins. I just wanted to pick up on the point you guys were making about the offense. And, you know, we're so used to NFL rosters where there are clear number ones at wide receiver and running back. And certainly it's a lot easier to have, say, a running game by committee than wide receivers by committee. But I'm just wondering to get your take on whether or not the Bills can actually turn what might be perceived as a weakness into a strength that, you know, they have – a lot of good to very good weapons, maybe none that are elite, but it, you know, kind of keeps the defense guessing a bit. To your point, you can have Kincaid have a quiet game, but then other wide receivers are picking up the slack, and depending on what Josh sees with the defense, I'm just wondering what your take is on maybe that being a strength and you know, getting them into a deep run.
Well, it's what we've been talking about already so far today and so much of the summer. I don't think it's a strength. I know they've started well, but I think eventually they're going to need to establish solid, reliable, good options in their receiving game. They've yet to do that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That it's not, you know, it's not hurting them yet, of course.
They haven't gotten to a game where they've had to throw it 40 or 45 times yet. I mean, it's been pretty again, easy. I mean, last week was they had to come from behind, and they threw to do that. But once they got in front, like it wasn't a shootout. They haven't had a game, and you know that's by design. I think they want to play that way. You know, the key is being able to put the clamps on your opponent. And that's why last night, I mean, I was on the over for, you know, the point total and both quarterbacks over 250, like that kind of stuff, putting parlays together because I thought Miami would move the ball on the Bills and get points, and that would drag the Bills into a game where you wouldn't have such modest receiving totals, but it just didn't happen. Miami ran the ball great, but they were sloppy with it, and Tua gave it to the Bills three times, and it's just that was it. That was the story. The Bills were working from the Miami side of the field constantly. The turnovers on downs were that way too, and not all of them, but you know, a couple of them were running around midfield. In fact, one of them, the Von Miller sack, I think, or maybe the Ed Oliver sack, preceded the 49-yard James Cook run that made it 24-3 at the time. Mm-hmm. So they haven't really been pushed. So we don't know. Like, that's all still TBD. But, look, I've been bullish on Shakir all summer. And, you know, last week he didn't do a lot, but what he did was notable. I mean, the run after catch last week was great. The touchdown was great. This week, it's five balls, five catches. I mean, he's cruising at like a 90-some percent rate on targets. And he was excellent at that last year, but it just wasn't very much volume. And it still isn't much volume yet this year. That's a part of the idea when everybody's going to eat. But that dude just catches the ball, gets open, and makes the catch.
Everybody eats. Nobody's eating. Everybody's snacking. Yesterday, I'm like, just don't starve.
Everybody snacks. Everybody snacks. It's good.
Everybody snacks. I was at Wegmans today. All their little things like for samples are painted. Everybody eats. Everybody snacks. I mean, that's a snack too. Everybody snacks. Allen has thrown 42 passes so far this season. You wanted over 250 from your guys last night. Neither guy got to 150.
Right.
To his injury. But, man, it's just so weird. You never know with this sport. 803-0550, Football Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. We'll look for more of your calls next. Sal at 4. A break now. We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Division win is the best thing. That's the easiest way to get to the playoffs. Not to say that we're looking for easy ways to get there, but our objective every year, you know, win the division. Win the division first, and then we'll finish the rest. If you win your division, that's your way to punch that ticket into the playoffs.
Deion Dawkins, he knows a lot. The Bills 2-0, 1-0 in the AFC East. Next up, Jacksonville a week from Monday night at home. Then it's three straight road games at the Ravens, Houston, and the Jets. Jets will be interesting Sunday because right now, especially compared with, and again, this is me anyway, not everybody, but the sort of preseason vibes and analysis, we know the Jets, the Dolphins, two very tough competitors. The Dolphins looked completely not on. I think that's it's 12 out of 13. I think that's the worst one last night of all the Bills' wins over them. Not close, at home, just perfect setup. All the Bills' changes, not in the same league.
And compounded by losing your quarterback and on top of it. I mean, just a terrible night for them.
Right. So yeah. If the Jets go to Tennessee.
Yeah,
Sunday?
I saw Sneaky Joe tweet this morning. Like we're a Titans upset of the Jets away from feeling like
it's over.
I think they're just going to kind of cruise. I mean, New England's 1-0. Who do they have this week? The Seattle?
Seattle.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see about New England, but I mean, I don't, you know, you can be wrong. Who knows? Maybe they'll end up being a threat. I don't know, but I kind of doubt it. So, yeah, I mean, if somehow Tennessee can handle the Jets, you just saw Miami. It's early. A lot can happen, of course, but it looks already pretty different than we thought going in. I thought Miami would be more the Bills' equal. And again, there's a lot of weeks to go here, but they're going to be down Tua at least for some period of time, if not the duration here.
Yep.
So that's, I mean, it's a huge thing for them to be able to overcome. And we saw the Jets and Rodgers specifically look pretty ordinary maybe at best last week in San Francisco. Now, that's a very tough opponent, so we'll see what they look like. A lot of curiosity, I'd say. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what they look like against the Titans and what Rodgers looks like. I don't think he's going to be able to move around at all this year, but that doesn't have to doom them. I think it probably will, but it doesn't have to. So we'll see. But yeah, the division could look, man, after this weekend, I mean, who knows? The Bills could be just sitting real pretty.
Tennessee gave the Bears nothing. I don't know what that is yet. It's too early in the season to know. The Bears brand new quarterback and skill positions, but I mean, it was less than 3 yards per play. So maybe they're good. 803-0550, getting connected with the fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Here is Tony next. Hi, Tony.
Hey, fellas, it's a pleasure. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I've been listening to you guys. I perceive a lot of the same offensive deficiencies. Like Bulldog, I'm not at all surprised Shakir's leading. I think at the end of the season, he's going to be our best receiver. It reminds me when I'm watching this team of the Eagles from a few years ago. It's like we're an offense by committee approach. And I just wondered if you guys, if we might run more two tight end sets like New England used to do, because I'm not ready to relegate Knox to just a blocking tight end. I mean, his freshman and sophomore year, he was trucking defenders, and that has tentacles. It fires the team up, gets the guys going. I'd like to see more of that, you guys. And then finally, I just wanted to add, I was at somewhat of a packed pub when Tua went down. The entire place went silent. For me, I fell for Tua after we lost to Miami a couple years ago, and him and Josh embraced after the game. It was like Tua was cradling Josh's head, whispering pleasantries in his ear. It really rubbed me the right way. I'm so hoping for a recovery for him, and I'm just so on the fence on what he should do with the future of his career. And fellas, have you heard about Duck Hodges predicting Tom Brady signing with Miami?
I had not. I've lost touch with Duck, actually. So I have not heard of. I have not heard that.
Yeah.
Anything to get him out of the booth.
I echo. You know, I'm sure there was a very familiar scene in a lot of living rooms and bar rooms across the country. Whether you're Bills fans or Dolphins fans, just football fans, definitely felt. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate. You know, so but I felt a little nauseous watching that happen, knowing his history. You know, even not that it really mattered, but just the optics of it, that Hamlin is the one at the tackle point. It just was, it weighed heavily on me. I was watching with my son. His athletic career got undone largely due to concussions. It was emotional watching that last night with him. So, you know, I think a lot of people probably felt the same. Whether you have that experience or not, you know what, where he's been and what has happened to him in his career. So, yeah, all the best to him, really. It was tough to watch.
I don't have any, sorry, I guess I want to say, but like hot take or even mild on what he should do. I mean, that's such a personal thing. Who's to say? I do think he should be allowed to play. You know, I'm not one to go as far as just don't let him play anymore. I don't think it should be like that. I think the league should have, and I think it mostly does, serious, sometimes, you know, I think we sort of look the other way, but serious measures to be at least somewhat careful about guys like that. He wasn't going back in the game. And sometimes a guy gets hurt like that and they end up, or they used to end up going back in the game. So I don't think he should be prohibited from playing in the NFL, but I'd certainly understand either way what he, based on what he decides. You know, if he wants, this is what I do. And I hear you that later in life, I'm going to have consequences probably, but these are young guys who are making a lot of money and have gotten to the point they're at by being sort of aggressive and confident and kind of maybe blind to, like, you're always at risk of getting hurt in football. So you have to play, I think, with a certain level of, you know, blindness to that. I can't think about that. And all that kind of steers you toward he'll be back on the field maybe. I mean, that's what happened this time, after he had serious injuries, you know, a couple years ago with the Bills and then the Bengals game. So I don't think he should be banned or anything, but I'd certainly understand if he was done. And that would make sense, and I would respect it. Is that okay?
I think that's almost perfect. I don't even know what to add that? Other than that's...
I can't wait for my raise.
That's almost exactly how I feel about it. I wouldn't feel comfortable saying he better not play, he shouldn't play, because it is. It's a very personal decision he's got to make with his family. He did talk somewhat openly about, I think specifically he said his mom, when this happened in the 22 season, there was talk about giving it up. And he didn't. He came back and made it through last year unscathed, got the big contract, and now here we are. So, we'll see. But, yeah, I think Mike McDaniel, one of the things I think you can choose to really appreciate about him is how he sounds about this, which, somewhat sounds like what you're saying. Like, give him room and just respect what he decides to do. I don't really need Antonio Pierce telling everyone he shouldn't play anymore. Like, I appreciate that perspective from a former player and a current coach in the league, and anyone who's been through any amount of distress with concussions probably has strong feelings about it, but I think you have to give the athlete room, him and his family, to like do what they feel is ultimately best. I 100% agree that he should not be banned. Like, the league should not step in. If he gets healthy and is cleared and he wants to play, I don't think there is, nor should there be, a mechanism in place to stop him from doing that.
No, and that won't happen.
Right.
Right? Like, legally...
Right.
The league would not get ever to that point.
I don't think so.
So much of that injury is a gray area type stuff that I doubt they could ever get to a point where they'd be like, you've reached this level of concussion history, so that's it. I mean, I don't think it'll ever get there. John is next. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Lifelong Bills fan. Love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Where do you live?
I grew up in Buffalo, then we lived in New York City for 18 years, and now we're in Detroit. Hmm. But we're still Bills fans with all our hearts.
All right.
Until time ends. Very happy with what we saw the last couple weeks, especially last night. It seems to me that they're playing very much like an ensemble, more so than I've ever seen recently, even though it's Josh Allen's ensemble. I think that's a very good sign. And I think that as the season progresses, they're going to get into a groove, and maybe you'll have one player snacks more than the other. But it seems like nobody's complaining, and everybody seems in balance. And I think that's a good recipe for success for this season.
Very good. Thanks, John. Bulldog, are you at all curious why I asked him where he lived?
Yes. Why did you ask him where he lived?
I just had an instinct that somebody who would, nothing bad, somebody who would identify themselves as lifelong Bills fan doesn't live in the area. Because I think everybody who does, it's sort of like a given.
It's implied. You don't need that on the business card.
Yeah, but if you lived out of town, you might sort of, you would
lead with that.
You would say that to people that you meet. They would know that about you. Like, you're the Bills fan in the office here in Detroit, Michigan. Right?
Good job picking up on that.
I didn't even really want, mean to. It just sort of just hit me. Maybe the guy's from out of town, which is great.
Good instincts.
The guy must have the internet.
I suppose.
That's an app.
Yeah.
Right. Something. Right. You can't get us as far as Detroit.
I don't think so.
I've listened to GR from Indiana. Maybe you have too, because you've been to Indiana.
Yes.
We do well going that west, that directional.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's probably still how it is. I don't know. Thank you, John. Eric is next. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Eric. Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to touch on a point, Mike, when you were making about Tua, kind of being banned, if you will, or not being allowed to play from the league standpoint. But I do think that there's a precedent for not being medically cleared to play, right? I mean, team doctors still have to sign off on that, correct?
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's what I said. If he gets cleared, which could take, a week or a month, I don't know. But if he gets cleared, I don't think there's anything in place. I'm almost sure there's nothing in place that would prevent him from playing. I don't think the league could look at it and go, well, I know your doctor said he's fine, but he's had four concussions. Like, that's not how it works.
Right. Yeah, and then I did have another question about Coleman's usage last night. Do you think that it's just, they're trying to get him some reps in terms of, hey, go see what's out there. Go see how you're being covered. And then, you know, we'll get you more reps as the season goes on because, I mean, the target seems a little low last night, but I wanted to get your guys' take on that.
Well, he was on the field a ton again in this game. But, yeah, not was not featured in the past. That almost sounds like it's not enough of a way to explain how little he was. He had one sort of desperation throw his way, and that was it. But he played as much as anyone, I think. I don't have it memorized
more,
here, but more, okay.
Than anybody, same as Allen,
right,
and like the lineman.
Okay.
But more than any other receiver.
So
Cook was on the field for 21 snaps, 3 touchdowns, almost 100 yards rushing.
That's pretty productive.
21 snaps. I can't get over the snaps. 45. Again, the Bills have won 3 games since the 1960s when they have run 45 snaps or fewer in the game. 1986, 1990, last night. Like, that's it. They've played 25 or 26 games only. Many of them are gross losses because they just couldn't get first downs. Remember the game in 91 when you lost that, of course you do, that parlay against the Chiefs?
Yes.
You had like 15 game parlay and you get 14, right?
33-6.
33-6. That's one of these games.
Yeah.
The first game I ever went to is the all-time record since the Super Bowl, in the Super Bowl era, for the Bills, fewest plays run, 39. Against the Dolphins in the rain, 79 opener, 9-7, Dempsey. Like this last night does not happen in the NFL.
Yeah.
Where you run 45 snaps, the Dolphins ran, I think, 75 and lost by 3 touchdowns. Just, you know, maybe if you had, it's like that Romo Dallas Bills game where you have 6 turnovers or something and everything is one sided, but you still win. Like just one way or the other.
Yeah.
The Bills had 13 first downs. 247 yards. How does that stack up over the last 5 years? 247 yards. Allen rarely has games that low, and that's the whole offense.
Right.
Crazy.
That game in 91, I still think it's a little bit revisionist, but I think they did me a huge favor. Because like me at 26 years old with $10,000 in my pocket, I'm scared just thinking about the possibilities. Here now all these years later.
I'd like to sort of have some sort of flashback alternate reality thing where I could see it. I'd like to see it. You know, what would have happened there? Maybe you would have been good. Maybe you would have bought gold. I'm just putting it all in precious metals.
I might have bought some form of gold, but I don't think it would have been the kind you invested.
Interesting.
Yeah, no.
Interesting. Sal Capaccio at 4, Football Friday. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. The Sabres play tonight. The quote Sabres play the quote Blue Jackets tonight in the Prospects Challenge. Our coverage will begin several minutes before 7. The game is at 7. Sabres play tonight, tomorrow, and Monday in that tournament. And this game's already going on this afternoon.
And they announced today that they're moving the Monday game was supposed to be at, oh no, that's a preseason game. It's now part of the
right.
Tournament. It's next Monday. They play a preseason game against Columbus. That was going to be at 7, but they moved it to 5 because the Bills play Jacksonville at 7:30. Again, that's a week from Monday.
Right. Now, this Monday is already at 5, right. I think, in this tournament. Sal at 4, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Football Friday, WGR. Bills over the Dolphins, 31-10 to go to 2-0. Take the weekend off. Sal Capaccio will join us in 10 minutes. Sal was at this game last night, by the way, so he's the guy to ask questions of. About it. Devon Achane played. He was active. He did play. And Bulldog, I mean, don't take it personally, these 28 points I got against you here to start our week 2 matchup.
Oh, I did not even think to look.
Oh, that's, I didn't even know.
I honestly didn't.
Really?
I did not know.
I didn't know
we were playing Achane today.
They said bad things about you in the paper. Really? I didn't know that. How would I have known that?
Who reads the paper anymore?
I didn't know that. My mom cannot get through.
The 1940s?
Where are you living? 28 for HN.
Yeah, that's nice for you.
96 yards rushing, receiving touchdown. He didn't play late in the game. I didn't get it, but he did. And that was fine for me because he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, but that was weird.
It was very weird.
He came into the game injured to begin with, and
right.
to be
He's
running him time. In a blowout, that was very, very strange.
Yes.
Why not get Jalen Wright out there, get him some more reps?
No, didn't.
Yeah.
This week, who would you start? PPR format, Bulldog. Points per reception. Marvin Harrison Jr. or Xavier Worthy? Harrison has the Rams off 1-for-4 against the Bills in his debut and apparently was very slow. And Worthy has the Bengals. Kansas City has the Bengals. Had a couple of touchdowns in their opener, but not very many targets. Maybe even only two.
I don't really love either choice. That's what makes it a little juicy. I think I would count on Arizona bending over backwards to get Marvin Harrison Jr. off. I'm sure they're aware of the slowest receiver in history, clocked time or whatever the hell he's, you know, got going on there in this game. Like if people don't know what I'm talking about, he hit 16 miles an hour or something was like his top speed in this game, which is really, really bad. So, I think the shiny new thing, like if I were doing this in Arizona, I would expect them to feed him this week. And Worthy, I don't know. You know, Hollywood Brown is out for at least a long time anyway. I don't know if he'll come back at the end of the year. So, you know, Worthy maybe will have a little more opportunity. Not he wasn't there week one either. But maybe, you know, Worthy will be more important as they move forward. But I think Rice is the guy that gets fed there, probably, and Kelsey, of course. So you might get the big plays out of Worthy like you did in week one, but...
You like Harrison?
I like Harrison. Yeah, I could see 7 for 110 or something for him this week.
I'd take half that, I think. Arizona favored by 1 at home against the Rams, like a 24.5, 23.5 kind of game, 24.5 implied total. Kansas City, 6-48, so 27-21. Their number against the Bengals. That'll be the big late game on Sunday that everybody can watch. Cincinnati, Kansas City. Sal Capaccio after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Football Friday, WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.